the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I begin my sermon this morning with an illustration of a person who falls and hurts himself, breaking a bone, whether a hip bone or a wrist bone. There is a way to restore that broken bone, but it means that a surgeon must come and set the bone and set it right. It was broken through a fallen injury, and the only way to correct that requires a necessary adjustment. And yes, that adjustment is painful and will require the challenging work of rehab so that it can be mended and brought back to full health and strength. Back in the day when this knowledge wasn't available or lacking for whatever reason, the person who broke his bone had a disability for life, or at the very least, had a deformed bone for the rest of his life. This morning, I want to speak about the work of God in restoring us, setting the bone right. Except it's not our physical bone, but our relationship with God. Through our sin in Adam and our own sin and sin nature, we are broken. We speak about the fall of man. The good news that is in the coming of Jesus Christ, who became human and dwelt among us, he has restored us to God through his life, death, and resurrection. And so this morning, I want to focus on Christ born for us. I know when we come to this season of Advent, we sometimes want to skip right ahead to Good Friday. And that's true. Christ was born to die for us. But he also was born for us and to fulfill God's law for us throughout his entire life. And so my first point is, God will strengthen your faith in him through Jesus Christ, his Son. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." I'm starting toward the end of the passage for this first point in 1 Peter 5 to lay the proper foundation of what God the Father and his Son has done for us in restoring us to himself. It is God who saves us from start to finish. It is our sure and certain hope in Christ that will sustain every Christian through every trial of our suffering, and that Christ, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. As I was thinking about one of the songs, the special music, "O Holy Night," that night was divine because that one, that only one, who was truly divine and truly human was born. That's the reason that night is divine. 8 billion people are alive on this planet right now. Not one of us is God and human. Not one of us. But there was one who was born for us, and that's the reason that night is divine. And we rejoice and give thanks that Christ became flesh. He became human and dwelt among us. Notice that in the words of 1 Peter 5:10, we are given the rich promises that God the Father has for all those who call to his eternal glory in Christ. We are established in Jesus Christ so that we might love, worship, and serve him. Let us also notice that it is the God of all grace who is both active in sending his Son into the world and continues to work in our lives in this process of conforming and strengthening our faith in the Lord. The Apostle Peter uses four words which speaks of the maturing of our faith in the Lord. God promises to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. The word perfect means to rehabilitate, to restore. In fact, many Bible commentators give as an illustration of restoring a surgeon setting a broken bone. Thus, my opening illustration. And so God restores us. God also confirms us, which means to make us strong by His mighty power. The word translated established shows that it is God who makes us strong in the sense of giving a firm and fixed position in relationship in Him through Jesus. And whether you've been a Christian a year or 70 years, we continue to go back to the well of God's grace. Jesus, when He predicted Peter's denial, also promised His restoration. When our Lord said to Peter in Luke 22:31, "When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Our Lord Jesus Christ not only promised Peter forgiveness, but also restoration, so that Peter might serve God's people. It's very important to emphasize this foundational teaching of the grace of God, who has restored us and continues to keep us strong in Him. God took the initiative in restoring us to Himself, and having laid that foundation, I now want to move on to how we ought to live out our faith in this restored relationship with God. And that brings me to my second point, which is that God works in us to trust in Him through difficulties. Having considered God's sovereign grace for us, now may we consider how we should live as followers of Christ. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you." Peter's call to humility is for all Christians, young, middle-aged, or older. We are all to tie on humility in our relations with one another. New Testament commentator Edmund Clowney makes this comment in his commentary on 1 Peter. Quote, "The verb humble is the tying of a servant's apron. Peter remembered the towel that Jesus tied around his waist when He filled a basin and began to wash the feet of His disciples. The humility of those who serve Christ is not merely the absence of pride or the awareness of limitations. Christian humility is realism that recognizes the grace of God." End of quote. We humble ourselves only when we recognize the grace of God, which heals us and restores us to God, a work which we could not accomplished by ourselves. We also need to come to grips with how difficult this admonition is to humble ourselves and to cast all your anxieties on the Lord. In Adam, we are not humble. We're proud. In Adam, we try to trust in our own abilities, and when we realize we can't handle life ourselves, our go-to response is that we become anxious. Trusting in God and turning away from anxiety goes against the grain of human nature. And we are inclined to fret, worry, and try to fix our problems even when it's obvious to us that is beyond our control. And yet we still do it. We still go back to worrying. Suffice it is to say that we are bent on anxiety, and it takes a renovation and a reformation of our minds and hearts to say to ourselves, no, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust God. Yes, I realize that things can be difficult, but I need to do the things that I am responsible to do today and plan for the things that I need tomorrow, but I must not be held captive like a slave to worry about things I can do nothing about. And yes, you're talking and looking to someone who has lifetime insomnia. I get it. Seeing the clock at 2 and 3 and 4 and filling your mind with all things about tomorrow that you cannot do a blessed thing about is an exercise in futility. I know it. And yet, that is our go-to position, and we need to cast ourselves on the God of all grace who can help us trust in Him. And no more practical words and yet hard words to follow of our Lord. Seek first in His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And all God's people said, Amen. While it is easy to trust, to speak of trusting in Christ and not worrying about tomorrow in a rather theoretical sense, when the circumstances of our lives are going well, it's another situation altogether when the circumstances of our lives cause us to hit the panic button. And yes, modern psychology talks about panic attacks. They're real. And then we know how hard it is to trust in God in the here and now, not be overcome by anxiety. Everyone has a vulnerable point, an Achilles heel. And yes, it's hard not to be anxious. In fact, I think it's one of the hardest commands Christ gives us. And yet we need to cry out constantly due to that fact that we are so prone towards sin. Have mercy on me, Lord. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to trust in you and not worry. I want to trust. Help me to overcome faithless fears and anxieties. Peter also tells us to resist the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says this, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. When we look closely at this, at these words of Peter, we can resist the devil only when we have first submitted ourselves to God and entrust ourselves to the Lord. We must trust in God who is almighty before we're ready to resist the devil who is mighty but not almighty. It is only when we have first trusted in the Lord and His almighty power and grace that we are prepared to resist the devil and, quite frankly, our own sin. Notice that casting our anxieties on the Lord and resisting the devil happen in the middle of difficulties of this life. When we are tempted to be overcome by anxiety and when we are sorely oppressed by the attacks of Satan who is bent on our demise. Let us remind ourselves to pray for those who suffer and suffer greatly. It's one thing to feel sick for a day or 2 days. What if you have intense pain for a year and a half or 2 years or 5 years? And you realize your pain will only go away in the resurrection. It's not an easy task to follow. It's hard because life is hard. But He has not abandoned us. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, not just when He was born of Mary on that night. He is with us now. He's not on some far remote corner of the earth. He's with us here at 2001 Frederick Road. And wherever you go today, He is there with you. He's everywhere present, and He loves you, and He cares for you. He's not aloof from our suffering. No, He is right here with us and upholds us in His hand. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, now and forever. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, deepen in our hearts our trust in You and in the work of Your Son on our behalf. Give us a deep sense that You are with us and You will continue to mold and shape us in the kind of people You want us to be. Give us strength to trust in You and shape our character, that no matter what hardships we may face, O Lord, we may continue to truly believe that You will continue that excellent work in us to trust in You, to hope in You, and to submit to You for Your honor and glory through Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son and our Lord. Amen.